did Jesus exist as an historical person? I'm surprised that anybody would even ask that question, and yet I just saw an article the other day, supposedly from a reputable news source, citing some scholars that actually had the audacity to question that fact. Well, we're going to talk about this right now with a scholar who is a PhD, and he's an associate professor at the Houston Baptist University. He's an associate professor of theology. His name is Mike Licona, Dr. Mike Licona. He's also the author of some important books, including a big, thick book on the resurrection of Jesus. Mike, thanks so much for joining us again.
My pleasure, Jerry.
Sure. I'm shocked that people would even ask this question, because it seems like, wow, I mean, compared to other historical figures, when you're talking about somebody that lived, say, 2,000 years ago, the historicity of Jesus of Nazareth is very well established, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. We have some stellar sources, ancient sources that mention Jesus. And so good is the evidence that it is very, very difficult to find a qualified scholar who would doubt his existence.
Well, apparently historian Richard Carrier has written a book questioning this. Your comments?
Well, I've debated Richard Carrier on two occasions.
Wow.
I like the guy. He has a credible, earned PhD in ancient history from Columbia University, but he has some very bizarre views. And I think those have largely led to him never being able to secure a teaching position anywhere.
Okay. Are you familiar with the book that he wrote about this, about Jesus?
I have not read his book, but I did hear, I attended a debate he had with Craig Evans, one of my HBU colleagues, and one of the most prominent New Testament scholars in the world. And I heard Carrier's arguments, and I mean, they're just not good arguments. The arguments that are put forth by Jesus mythers, you know, to the rest of scholarship. And I mean, there are thousands of New Testament scholars and historians around the world, and I would guess to say most of them are not Christians. But to those of us in the field of history and New Testament scholarship, I would say that we view Jesus mythers as early contestants on an episode of American Idol. They come out and they think that they've got a great gift, talent for singing, but everybody else is smiling and rolling their eyes at them.
Mm-hmm. It's like the old Gong Show, or maybe I'm dating myself. But
I remember the Gong Show.
All right, now am I to understand that Craig Evans teaches at Houston Baptist University? You do. And at the end of the movie, The Case for Christ with Lee Strobel, it mentioned that school that he teaches there or something. So you have... At that Houston Baptist University, you have the three of you? That's amazing.
I know.
What a great school.
Well, we've got Nancy Piercy as well.
Oh, wow.
And we have Mary Jo Sharp. We have Jerry Walt. Bruce Gordon. We have so many of the who's who kind of people there. William Lane Craig.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just a great lineup.
Isn't that something? And then there's Baylor, too, which has some good professors, but that's in a different field.
Absolutely.
In the sociology.
And, you know, for Baylor University, we like to, you know, anyone who doesn't get accepted into HBU, we're happy to send them to Baylor.
Okay, good. All right. It seems to me that the gist of Richard Carrier, or the Jesus Mythers article, the thesis, here's the gist of it, as I understand it. Okay, the only sources we have about Jesus are Christian sources, therefore they're biased. And we're not talking about Jesus and doing miracles and Jesus, rising from the dead, which again is a miracle. But what we're talking about is even just Jesus existing as an historical figure. But I guess what the Jesus mythers are saying is that even the Christian sources muddied the waters of, let's say, Josephus or that kind of thing. I mean, here's what Carrier said. He said even the references to Jesus and the work of Josephus were additions done by Christian scribes. Now, it's my understanding that part of them might have been or were, but certainly not all of it. But anyway, your comment.
Well, you're right there. The majority of Josephus scholars today think that Josephus mentions Jesus on two occasions. Now, most of those scholars, almost all of them, would say that the first passage, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 18, Section 63...
On John the Baptist.
...has been doctored. I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes.
It has been doctored by a Christian probably in the second or third century to say some more lavish things, like instead of Jesus, added things in there like he was certainly the Messiah or he rose from the dead. They don't think that Josephus actually said those things because Origen in the second century said Jesus, or third century said Jesus was, Josephus was not a Christian. So almost all Josephus specialists would say that a Christian doctored that text up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a conversation back, I think it was in the year 2000, with Lewis Feldman, who at that time, I don't know if he's still alive, but at that time was the leading Josephus scholar in the world, not a Christian, a Jewish scholar. And I asked him, I said, what do you think would be the ratio of Josephus specialists who would say that Josephus mentions Jesus here in the original text, as opposed to those who said Josephus didn't mention him at all in that particular text? And he said, well, it's been a while since I've done a bean count, probably the 1980s, but he said he would guess that it was at least 3-1, and he wouldn't be surprised if it was as high as 5-1. So for Carrier to say that these two texts were completely the invention of Christians put in later on goes against the majority of Josephus scholarship. And the other text in which Josephus mentions Jesus, Book 20, Section 200, is virtually unchallenged in terms of Josephus scholars who think that he actually mentions Jesus there.
Is that the one where it talks more about John the Baptist than Jesus?
James, the brother. It talks about the stoning of James, the brother of Jesus, who was called the Christ.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
Let me say one other thing about bias here. And there are other, of course, non-Christian sources who mention Jesus. You have not only Josephus, but you have Tacitus in the Annals of Rome, Book 15, Section 44. He mentions Jesus' execution by the Romans, by Pontius Pilate, during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, just like we find in the New Testament. That is rarely questioned. Although some have ventured to do it, it's rarely questioned by classical scholars. You've got Lucian of Samosata in the middle of the second century, and he mentions Jesus' crucifixion in Palestine. You have Mara Bar Serapion, who's writing either the latter part of the first century, sometime in the second century, and he mentions Jesus' execution. So you do have non-Christians who do mention Jesus, the existence of Jesus, mainly his death, his execution by the Romans. One further thing I just want to put in here is to say that when Carrier refers to them as biased Christians, and therefore we shouldn't believe it, everyone is biased, and we don't reject an ancient source or a modern one simply because they're biased. In other words, we would not want to listen to a Jewish historian who wrote on the Holocaust or an African-American historian who wrote on slavery in the U.S. because we said they're biased. But it's precisely the bias that Jewish historian and the African-American historian has that may drive them to get down deeper into the facts and to report them more accurately.
Very true. And, you know, by the way, I think there's a definitely Christian scholarship is to be commended, including yourself, including your teacher, Dr. Gary Habermas, or one of your main teachers, your mentor. The quality of Christian scholarship, though, these days is so tremendous. And when I was at Wheaton Graduate School, I remember reading some historical books by Kenneth Scott Latourette, who was a Yale professor, and I believe he died in the late 1960s. But he wrote on the history of Christianity, and when you would read his stuff, it was written almost like as if he were a critical scholar. He wasn't, you know, he didn't sound like he was one of us, but he certainly was one of us. He just was, you know, so committed to the scholarship, you know, to make sure that he would get a wide audience. Does that make sense? And anyway, good quality Christian scholarship is needed. Sometimes we have been a little sloppy and schlocky, And that's not good, especially when there's unbelievers out there, you know, who are considering possibly the claims of Christ.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on both of those points.
All right, here's this article I saw, and I want to quote from you. Historians and bloggers are now increasingly questioning whether the man called Jesus actually existed at all. He may be no more a historical figure than Hercules or Oedipus. End of quote. Your comment?
Well, when he's bloggers, yes, you do have some bloggers, but that's really not a good credential because anyone can publish on the internet, and publishing on the World Wide Web does not make you a world-class scholar. So when he says historians, really? Richard Carrier, who you mentioned, is probably the leading person, the person who's leading this Jesus mythicist. And he says he can only name seven historians in the world who hold that Jesus didn't exist. Seven. Now, I can tell you that there are almost that many historians who deny the Holocaust. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not qualified to speak about the age of the universe and the age of the earth, the age of humans on earth.
Right.
I mean, I'm aware of the different views, the different arguments, but I'm not qualified to talk on it. What I would say, however, Jerry, is that the young earth creationist view that states that the earth is 6 to 15,000 years old is held by a very, very small minority of professionally credentialed scientists, probably less than 1%. And yet, I would say that the number and the percentage of scientists who are highly credentialed in their field, the relevant fields, the percentage and number of young Earth scientists who are highly credentialed, properly credentialed, far exceeds the number of professional, highly credentialed historians who would deny the existence of Jesus.
Hmm. Okay, so, all right, let's let me ask you this. As far as if somebody brings up this idea that, you know, well, how do we even know Jesus existed? What's the best way to marshal facts to him? What's the best way to answer him?
Well, I mean, it depends on the person. I mean, I would go and say, look, even atheist and agnostic historians and New Testament scholars would acknowledge that Jesus exists. Take, for example, Bart Ehrman, perhaps the most influential skeptical New Testament scholar in North America.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is out there that's he's preaching against the Gospels. He's preaching against the resurrection of Jesus.
And he's a former evangelical. Yeah, an iconoclast.
Former evangelical.
Went to Moody, went to Wheaton, and then Princeton, lost his faith.
Yep, and he says that this view does not command any kind of scholarly respect. Morris Casey, who died just a couple of years ago, he was an agnostic, bordering on atheism, and his final book addressed this phenomenon on the internet about people who are rejecting the existence of Jesus. And he says it is certifiably, verifiably false.
Mm.
So you could point out what these guys are saying. You could point out that there are a number of non-Christian sources who mention it. You can point out that there are numerous, multiple, independent Christian sources that are very early, who were reporting the existence and deeds and death and resurrection of Jesus within just a couple of decades of his life. They may not like the Christian sources, but these sources are still those that people like Ehrman and Casey and other atheists like Gert Ludemann would look at them and say, look, we don't believe everything in them, but we can still mine them, just like we can mine the Quran to learn stuff about Muhammad and the early Muslims and the early Islamic movement. We can do that with the earliest Christian literature as well. And so there shouldn't really be any historical doubt at all. If you want to doubt it because that's your... And what Ehrman ends up saying is the reason, if you look behind these mythicists, they seem to be motivated by politics. They don't like Christians because Christians present a political opposition to what they want.
So they want to get right to the root. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. We're basically out of time, but I want to refer people to your website, risenjesus.com, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And what was the name of your gigantic tome on the resurrection of Jesus?
The Resurrection of Jesus, A New Historiographical Approach.
Mike Licona, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you, sir. All the best.
You too, Jerry.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.